is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe in Las Vegas, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. And we got a fun hour number two on deck here because joining us right now in studio here in Nevada is the one and only Mike Palm, the VP of operations at this beautiful property called the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Palm, how we doing, man? There's a lot going on this weekend. What's popping here at Circa?
There's a lot going on. We had a tremendous game one of the Western Conference Finals last night. It was a great game. The Knights rallied from down a goal, and then Dallas rallied twice to send it to overtime, and the Knights took care of business. Big game two in the Eastern Conference tonight. We've got the Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown. EDC is in town. We've got a golf major going on. Full slates of Major League Baseball, full slate of soccer as seasons are wrapping up and teams are fighting against relegation and four-playing and in major tournament play next year. So, I mean, it's a tremendous time to be alive, tremendous time to be a sports bettor.
Look at that. Let's put it on the T-shirt, shall we? You already learned the lingo.
I love it.
Michael, I was following you, and you've done a great job chronicling Jim Brown and, of course, his passing a few days ago. I was, you know, you had the tweet about the 1957 NFL draft, which actually took place in November of 1956, which tells you how right. different things were, you know, 65 years yeah. ago. But how about the top six picks in that draft, though? If you go 1 through 6, I mean, it's incredible. There's no shot anybody would be that good today that these guys would draft. You have three of the six are Hall of Famers. Obviously, Brown, Hornig, who went one, and Lenny Dawson. And the other three were all pro. They were all pro
decades.
Players. I mean,
all decades, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy that's not really talked enough about in that top six yeah. is Ron Kramer. I mean, this guy set records at the University of Michigan for lettering in so many sports, baseball, basketball, and football. He was truly Gronk before Gronk. And what people don't realize about the 57 draft, Hornig and Kramer were picked by Jack Vinici of the Green Bay Packers, who was the personnel director. Lombardi inherited those two players, and there's no power sweep without Ron Kramer. There's no getting around the corner without Ron Kramer is one of the most talented, undervalued, great Hall of Fame, great players who should be in the Hall of Fame. He got traded to Detroit because his marriage was on the rocks and he wanted to be closer to his family. That kind of set him back a little bit, but his numbers and his production on tape, remarkable.
He kind of had a tough first few years, and then when Lombardi converted him to the tight end position, they took off and he was a key part of their first two world championship. He's a member of the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame and a member of the all 50 years of the NFL first team. I mean, think right. about that. Yeah. And we forget the name. Arnett was a running back for the Rams, a five-time All-Pro. You don't talk about John Arnett in any. And then, of course, John Brody, who had a great career as a broadcaster and went on to play on the senior PGA Tour, 17 seasons as the quarterback of the 49ers. So, I mean, it's an incredible draft. How many... What would you set the odds of that of the first six picks this year, three would be Hall of Famers and all six would be all pros?
No, I would set it less than 5%.
Yeah, I'd say less than one.
Yeah,
less
like a million than 1%. To one. That might be a million to one odds for that to happen. If one of them is even in a Hall of Famer, that's a great class there. We're hanging out here with Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. You mentioned it. There's a lot going on here this weekend. The Preakness Stakes. I know you guys are having the Preakness Stakes party here at Circa. There. How are folks betting this? And are you going to dabble into the ponies as well?
I don't know. I'm saddened by the fact that nobody runs back except the Derby winner. You know, and now you're down to a field of seven. As you said, you have to play exotics here because in a short field, unless you're going to identify one of these horses that we haven't seen before that's going to beat Mage, and you think you can get Borden 10-1, I don't know how you play the win. For me to go back-to-back here with Mage, I'd need like 3-1. And now with the short field, he goes from 8-5 to 4-5. So it's tough here. And even a trifecta in a seven-horse race, you got to be pretty exact to make a real score on it. I wonder if this will spark any change in the Triple Crown series, if it actually try to expand it out and maybe take the Belmont to the 4th of July weekend. Just go a month. You're not going to move off the first Saturday in May. That's never going to happen. No. But maybe you can extend this a month. That's about as late as you can go because Saratoga is going to open mid-July there. But there'll be plenty of people. We've got most of the booths are reserved in the book behind us for the bettors who've come in and made their plans before the Derby even happened, if they couldn't be here for the Derby or they were at the Derby, to come no matter what the field was going to be. So the cards already started. They already ran the first race. So it'll be a tremendous day here.
I saw that Michael Lombardi was about to jump in there. It's going to be a tremendous day here for the horse racing, and I'm going to be locked into what's going on as well. NBA action has been happening. We've been talking about the NBA. We had JVT on in the last segment. The Boston Celtics, we're all perplexed about how they're playing. Miami Heat, we're all not confused, but impressed by the way that they've been playing so far in these playoffs versus what they did in the regular season. Who do you think wins the NBA title?
I think Denver. And I said that after the first round, that I thought Denver was the most complete team. I mean, Jokic is just so good. When you look at him and Embiid, I don't know how you make Embiid the MVP, but they hold serve at home. You know, they play very well at home. And they've got the wing shooters. They've got the star. You got the wing shooters. They can defend for stretches of the game. I think they win it. I don't know the Celtics are coming out of the East now. I mean, last night was great for the books because if you were Heat backers, you passed on the game because you're not going against the trend. I mean, 16 straight, the home team loses game one, they win game two. There's the stat that if they were a 7.5-point favorite or more, the home team in game one, the last 29 times they won game two. I mean, incredible stats to that. So either you passed or you bet the Celtics. So, I mean, there were very few people that took the Heat last night. Although there were some people that played the Heat money line into the series after the first game at the reduced price, but that was a great for the books because it was basically one-way action on that game. A little bit of buyback when you hit 10 to go back to 9.5, but 80% of the bets were on the Celtics last night.
Yeah, Mike, why will the line is still -170 for the Heat to be the Eastern Conference favorite? I mean, Boston's got to win four of the next five. Kind of a challenging thing to do with it, especially with three of the next five on the road. So, I mean, why hasn't that number kind of adjusted further? Are we still not sold that the Heat are a good team?
Well, you still drag the team's power ratings, right? And you're still dragging. There's always a long tail to it in those ratings. So, here's the concerning thing, though. If you're Boston, you've got to win four out of five, and they're 10-12 straight up in their last 22 home playoff games. There's no home court advantage there in Boston. So basically, they've got to win every game on the road because you can only assume they might win one of their two remaining home games. So they basically got to go win three in Miami. I hear your point about the number.
Yeah. Now, they are above 500 on the road this playoff, so they've been a really good road team in the regular season as well. And maybe getting away from Boston is beneficial to the Boston Celtics. Maybe that's what happens there. We're hanging out here with Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. The Western Conference Series, the Lakers and the Nuggets. You like Denver to win the title here. Do you think Denver makes this a quick series against LA, or do we go six, maybe even seven?
I don't know. It might follow the pattern of the Phoenix series where, you know, or maybe they get game. I think the Lakers win game three. Maybe Denver's got a shot in game four. The Lakers have been dominant at home, too. I mean, these games haven't even been close. They haven't had to perform in the fourth quarter at home because the games have been decided, where they sort of ran out of gas in Denver in those two games, and LeBron's tough for him in the fourth quarter. They haven't shot the ball well. Look, they play great half-court defense. I mean, they've been a tremendous team here. Obviously, every book in the world's got huge liability. We have seven-figure liability to the Lakers. We also have it's a big loser to Miami to win the East, actually. Oh. We want Boston's our best result across the board. Win the East, win the title. The best result is Denver, Boston, but that's probably not going to happen. But there's Lakers are certainly good for business. They might be as good for business as the Knights. Now, not necessarily because we have the suite and the glass seats, so we bring people in for that. But the number of people that turn up for these Lakers games, it's incredible. And when they've gone head-to-head with the Knights, and we're thankful they've staggered here for the conference finals, more people here are requesting the Lakers game on volume than the Knights even, and we're sponsors of the Knights.
Wow.
Wow. I was going to ask you about the Knights, Mike. I mean, how much do you have much life? I mean, we know everybody in Vegas loves the Knights. Great game last night, overtime, Knights pull it out. But how much liability do you have on that? Are people just blindly betting the home team?
Oh, yeah, every year they do. But it's a third of the liability we have on the Lakers. We lose $500,000 to the Knights, $1.5 million to the Lakers. So, you know, this Knights-Dallas series, I think, will be a long, good series. I don't think it's over by any stretch. Ottinger still hasn't played well. Ottinger played well in one playoff game so far, Game 7, against Seattle. That's it. Mm-hmm. He still hasn't performed well. So we'll see what happens. The Knights keep finding ways. I didn't think this team was going to make a deep run, but they did. They, you know, I thought Winnipeg had a live shot against them. They win the four straight there. I thought they were up against Edmonton. They handled them in six. So who knows what's going to happen here. I do think if you're Carolina, you got to be very concerned. You played almost seven full periods and didn't score a 5-on-5 goal against Florida. That's got to be concerning, and you lose the first game at home. I actually think Florida, if I could say one team that will make the Stanley Cup Finals, I really believe Florida will be in the final.
Maybe a Panthers-Heat-South Florida parlay.
It could be. Good thing the schedule makers figured out not to put the Heat and the Panthers on the same night. That's what saved us for our content.
Yeah. We're all on the same page now. Real quick, before we head to break, who are you guys rooting for the PGA Championship?
You know, we don't have much liability at all. Jeff Davis updated our odds last night. I don't think anybody in the top six we lose to. It's been pretty good here. Like, Koepka's the only loser. That's anywhere really in the top 10, and we have good reason. Hovland's kind of a push for us.
Okay, so no Koepka and no Hovland. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau's a couple back. Scotty Scheffler is in the lead right now.
Scheffler's great for us. A lot of six-figure winners in these guys at the top of the leaderboard.
Nobody bet Scheffler. All he does is play great in these tournaments. It's
very
unbelievable.
Very consistent, and so is Hovland. Yeah. They're just very consistent golfers.
They very are. All right, on the other side, it's the moment we've all been waiting for. Palms pressing three here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Don't go away. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. We're hanging out here on a Saturday morning, a big sports weekend, and we are hanging out with our buddy, Mike Palm, VP of operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And for our weekend audience, because typically, Mike Palm, you make your appearance on the Lombardi Line on Thursday. So our weekend audience, they're learning you now. They know that you're into the EPL, you're into the overseas soccer, you're obviously into the NFL, and you have, for our front office executive, Michael Lombardi, three pressing questions. We call it Palm's Pressing Three, where you go ahead and ask Michael Lombardi what's at the top of mind with you in the National Football League. So Mike Palm, take it away.
All right, Michael, let's start out with number one. Some other shows on this network and elsewhere, including a certain earthquake expert in L.A., have thrown out the notion that the Rams could tank this year in hopes of landing Caleb Williams and keeping him home in L.A. Bettors are all searching for the secretly tanking team that we can capitalize on. But did Sean McVay and Matt Stafford come back to throw a year away? What have you heard on Stafford and Kupp's health, and what do you think of the notion the Rams could tank with the salary cap mini-hell and lack of draft choices they are saddled with?
I don't think the Rams are going to intentionally tank. I think they have no choice but to tank. I mean, when you break down their team, they put $59 million into Matthew Stafford because they couldn't get rid of Matthew Stafford. They had to pick up the option. They tried to trade him this offseason. And the team around Matthew Stafford, besides Cooper Kupp, you know, is not very good. Their offensive line is going to be challenging. I truly believe when Sean McVay was deciding whether to come back or not come back, he had to make some kind of a commitment to Stan Kroenke and say, look, I'm going to go through this. We'll get through this. We'll take our lumps next year, but we'll come out on the other side. How he manages his star players, specifically Aaron Donald, they're going to have to collect some assets. and they're going to have to get through this cap mess. Remember, they traded Allen Robinson to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a flop of sevens, and they paid $10 million. That's how bad their cap is. That's how bad it is. So they're going to have to do something. And the way their team's structured, the way the NFC West is structured, the way the NFC is, I don't think there's a game that they could play that they walk into and think they're the better team. They really aren't. And I know McVay's a great coach. I'm not sure this is planned. I think this is the effect of going all in.
No, I think it's really interesting because they're going to have some competition if they're looking to tank in the Arizona Cardinals right there in their own division, who have the quarterback issue with Kyler Murray hurt right now, not coming back until November or December.
Right. Well, we knew that. I mean, that's not like we knew he wasn't coming back early. That, and so we know the Cardinals are not going to be very good. We don't know if Jonathan Gannon's very good. I'll give you another team that's not very good is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They don't have a quarterback. They got a huge salary cap issue, right? And they're in a tough situation. Todd Bowles is the head coach. Can he manufacture? I think if they start slowly, I think you're going to see a lot of things change in Tampa.
All right, question two, Michael. Last year, pundits called the AFC West the best division ever heading into the season, and it didn't seem that far-fetched. Denver and the Raiders underperformed expectations, and the Chargers barely snuck into the playoffs. This season, the AFC North has four teams with season win totals that predict winning records. We know that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers never waste or have a losing year. Both the Ravens and especially Cincinnati will expect to be Super Bowl contenders. And Cleveland now knows their quarterback will be without all the scrutiny and questions, have made some roster moves that look good on paper, and has a coach who knows that it's playoffs or sell the house. History tells us that one, if not two of these teams will have disappointing seasons, let alone the AFC West and East are both loaded as well. So which of these four North teams make the playoffs and which disappoint?
Well, we know the Ravens win with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. Are they the talented team? Not really. I mean, they're not as good as people perceive them to be, specifically defensively. At their corner situation, Marlon Humphreys, they pay him a lot of money, but he's not an outside corner. He's really a slot corner. They pay Ronnie Stanley, the two highest-priced guys on their team, to be the left tackle, and he barely plays. To me, if Lamar gets hurt, I think Baltimore's the edge team here. Even though Baltimore wins with Lamar, how good are they? I don't know. Cleveland's the other unknown because Deshaun Watson had an uncharacteristically bad year, and it wasn't bad. It was beyond bad. You know, his average per attempt at 6.8 was lower. He was in the eights before when he played for the Texans. So they're going to need a lot of that to come back. I just think Stefanski's decision-making puts them in a lot of trouble. Because if he's going to continue to go for it on fourth and inches at zone 25, he's going to make these mistakes in critical times. Pittsburgh is a team everybody wants to shoo away, but Mike Tomlin's a really good coach, and we know that football is a team sport, and Mike understands how to build a team and create team unity and find ways to get his team better during the season. Cincinnati, to me, has the best team with Joe Burrow because Joe Burrow is going to have a new contract. I think they'll re-sign T. Higgins. I think this offensive line will be improved, and I think Lou Amoromo will get this defense to play better. I will say this. They do have four quarterbacks. Pickett's not a top 10 quarterback, but there is potential that the North has four quarterbacks that play at a high level. When the West wasn't good last year, it was because the quarterbacks that we thought would play good, Carr and Wilson, didn't.
No, that's really interesting stuff. I think Cleveland's the team that would be the team that could disappoint because if Watson last year, if that's a sign of things to come, then this team can get off the rails. But if he actually has the high ceiling that we saw when he was in Houston, maybe they contend with the division in our competition to Cincinnati and Baltimore.
All right, let's flip to the NFC, Michael. Somehow, we have not had a repeat NFC East champion in 19 seasons. On top of that, add in the history of the Super Bowl hangover of the losing team, like we saw with last year's Rams. The Eagles are about $1.15 favorite to win their division, which seems incredibly cheap given their roster and the competition. You could argue that minus $1.15 to win the NFC wouldn't be that outlandish. So where should a bettor's balance be about what looks too good to be true versus 19 years of history against you? I do not believe in trends nor bet on them. But between 19 years of the same four teams not being able to repeat and what happens to losing Super Bowl teams, this is tough. It seems like Super Bowl losers also have brutal injury luck. What say you, Michael Lombardi?
I think the one thing the Eagles did in the last year is they've avoided those injuries. Now, I will say they're a very talented team on paper. However, paper is problematic because it doesn't always translate to the field. They brought back a couple older guys in Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. They have some very good young players. How good will they be with a new defensive coordinator? I don't know. The transition of offense. But I think the biggest concern you have to have if you're a Philadelphia Eagles staff member in their organization is you are now the target. Your offense was so unique, it caught people off guard during the season. People are going to spend, especially the opponents, they're going to spend a lot of time studying your tendencies, your play calling methodology, and how you operate the game. And I think that's going to create some uncertainty. It's going to create a different way that people will defend you. The NFL is always about adjust to an adjust to an adjust. We see the things kind of go, the evolution of it, the RPO game, right, the run and shoot. Things kind of take their course. This six-back offense is very effective. But let's just say if Jalen Hurts is not healthy, it's hard for them to run the six-back offense because his backup quarterback is Marcus Mariota, and he can't stay healthy. So there is your concern. If they're going to run Hurts as much as they did, he missed two games last year, that's got to worry you. And I think that's why if you're going to say what team could be there, obviously to me it's Dallas because of their defense.
Wow, the Dallas Cowboys. That's the team that I think wins the division. I'll go on record right now. What is this, May 20th? I think the Cowboys win the division. You're laughing, Michael. You're laughing.
Mike, there's that Twitter Femi we miss so much. That's what I needed right there.
You come for me on my team. You're going to get it. I think the Cowboys, that defense that you mentioned there, Michael Parsons. I'll say Michael Parsons is the best player in the division. I'll go that far. I think the Cowboys win this division. I think the Cowboys and the Eagles are neck and neck. If you had to bet it, I think plus 175 on Dallas is a good look.
I'll pass.
You'll pass. You don't believe in the Cowboys.
I don't. Yeah. Show me. It's one of those things I say, show me. They don't never do it.
NFC East is a regular season market. You know, the playoffs is a different story, but this is a regular season market.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. You know, everybody, if the Washington Commanders had Dalvin Cook on their team and a quarterback that we were certain of, they could compete. I mean, they went into Philly last year. They forced four turnovers with a bad offensive line. They ran the ball effectively, not great, at Philadelphia. They match up to him. They understand him. Now, can that continue with Sam Howell? Bieniemy is the coordinator on offense? I don't know.
This division had three playoff teams, three of the final four in the NFC, and the other team only didn't qualify because the coach didn't know what record it took to get in. I mean,
I forgot about that.
So true, right? No, I didn't.
Mike Baum, awesome. Thank you for joining us here this morning.
Awesome work, Mike.
We'll see him on Thursdays. Make sure to watch on Thursdays, and sometimes come visit us on the weekends as well, buddy.
I try to stick with Stormy.
I see that. Thomas Gable joins us next from the Sportsbook at the Borgata.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Been a fun show here. We're continuing on as we got 30 minutes left, and it's 8:30 West Coast time, 11:30 Eastern time, which means we're going to bring in our buddy, Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, hope all is well on this fine Saturday morning. Before we get into the NBA, the NHL, and the PGA, how about the Preakness? It's a little bit of a watered-down field maybe here with Mage being the only Kentucky Derby horse that's running here in the second leg of the Triple Crown. But how are folks betting, and how do you see this kind of playing out later this afternoon at Pimlico?
Yeah, obviously a small field here for the Preakness. Big difference from the Derby. And, you know, that's the Preakness always, I think they max out 14 horses. Obviously, you only have seven going today. So the races just run a lot different than the Derby. And the Derby typically have traffic issues. There's luck involved in winning the Kentucky Derby. It's not always the best horse that wins just because of how many horses you have to navigate. Now, the Preakness, you see the favorite traditionally win a lot more in the Preakness just because of the smaller field. So the best horse has a better chance of showing that they're the best. So Mage is going to be the favorite come post time tonight, probably be less than even money. You have a couple challengers there, though, for Mage. The one horse, National Treasure, with the returning Bob Baffert as the trainer there, will certainly be getting attention with Baffert as the trainer. We know Baffert's his horses are always going to take money. He is actually tied for the most wins in Preakness history, so I would not be surprised if you see that. And the seven horse Blazing Sevens there, trained by Chad Brown, third in the Bluegrass, I think really needs to show some improvement to have a shot today. Irad Ortiz is the jockey there. The trainer jockey combo, that's going to attract some money. The horse, though, that I would include there, if Mage is going to be the best horse in this race. The other horse, though, that I think could at least you can get a decent price on is the 5, Red Root 1, Steve Asmussen's horse. Won at Oaklawn on April 22nd to get into the Preakness. Won't be the early speed for sure, but we'll need to come from behind. I think National Treasure will probably be the speed in this race. But I do think including 5 there in your exotics there, I like the 3-1-5 for the try today.
TG, you have such a huge race book there and a ton of race experts, that sharp people that come in and bet every single day. What is the trifecta or, you know, the three horses that you're getting the most action on?
Well, I think, again, the price there on Mage, you're not necessarily, not people are going to be betting him to win outright. You're going to see Mage included in exotics. You're going to have to bet exotics here to get any sort of value in this race, just the way due to the smaller field and the way this is going to shake out. So Mage is going to be using a lot of exotics here. Again, I think National Treasure, just being a Baffert horse, you're going to see take some money, and Chad Brown's horse, the 7, Blazing Sevens. Again, great combination there between Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz. So those three, I think you're going to see a decent amount of action on.
There you go. We're speaking with Thomas Gable, racing sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG saying he likes the 3-1-5 trifecta. So Mage up top, National Treasure, and then Red Route 1 in the trifecta. Let's get over to the NBA here, TG, because the Boston Celtics go down 0-2, losing both games to the Miami Heat on their home floor at the TD Garden. Now for game number 3, the setup in South Beach. Boston favored by 3, some places even 3.5 here. Do you think that Boston can kind of get right and get back into this series, or are they just completely lost doing this Jekyll and Hyde act that they've been doing for a couple of years in the postseason now?
Well, as you said, Fanny, before we came on air, you know, Charles Barkley pointed it out postgame last night, and I think very astutely, game 3 is an extremely important game for Miami not to take their foot off the gas here, because this Boston team is the best team remaining in the playoffs. But we have seen it time and again where it's just, they're kind of frustrating to watch if you're a Boston backer. At this point, our bettors is believing in Miami. I'll tell you, the way that this was bet last night, people did not want to lay the points with Boston. It's just, they thought it was too many points. Obviously, people were including them in parlays on the money line and so forth. So it was a good result for us overall. People ended up taking the points here with Miami. But, I mean, you got some bridge jumpers who are going to lay the big number there with Boston on the money line. But I think now here, much tighter line for game 3. And you're already seeing, again, as you said, some 3.5 start to pop up there. Kind of a must-win situation for Boston. But again, when looking at Miami, this is a game that you don't want to just give away, because you'd hate to go back to Boston tied up 2-2.
Yeah. How about that? You know, Mike Palm was talking about how much liability he's got on the Lakers. Do you have the same liability if the Lakers can come through this? Femi believes they're the best team, so he's got all his money on the Lakers.
Not all of it.
Well, I guess Will Hill talked him into the Lakers.
Yeah. Right? Well, Will Hill's been running the team. That's right. Yeah. Thank you, TG, for reminding me.
Now we're good on the Lakers. And, you know, it's funny because I know out in Vegas, the Lakers are always a very, very popular team and always attract the money out there. But for us, they're actually a very good result for us. If they win the conference, win the title, I won't be complaining at all. They're a great result for us. So Denver, no liability on Denver whatsoever in the series here. Do have a little bit of liability on them to win the championship. But again, out west, no matter who wins out of this, it's a good result. Our liability really lies with Boston, and they've been our biggest liability in the East pretty much all season. And so there's over $500,000 swing here between Boston and Miami, the way that this series results in the East.
Wow. That's a big – so the, obviously rooting for the Miami Heat at the Borgata. So I'm sure a couple of fun games one and two for you guys over there, TG. Tonight's game, Lakers and the Nuggets, I mean, they've been betting this thing L.A. since it opened up, opened 3.5, now 5.5. There was even some sixes in the market as well here. I'm assuming just this game in particular, you guys will need Denver to go ahead and at least keep it close.
Yeah, it's looking like that right now. Early money has been on L.A. So we'll see how the day goes and how this gets bet. But right now looks like the need is going to be on the Nuggets to at least cover the number.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. The Lakers have been very good at home. We know that. And they've been able, as Mike Palm said in the last block, they've been able to. But to me, this Nugget team, I think we've mischaracterized the games, TG. I think this Nugget team, you know, really hasn't played. They played really good for three quarters. And then they didn't play good for three quarters, and yet they found a way to make a play in the fourth to win the game one, and then they found a way to score Murray in the fourth to win that game. I think, to me, they are the best team.
I think they're a better team than the Lakers, I do. But even though you have both series here at 2-0, I'm not counting either team out that's down 0-2 at this point. I'm not counting out the Lakers out of this series, and I'm certainly not counting the Celtics out of their series either. Now, the Lakers, again, kind of a must-win spot for them tonight. Bettors are going to be backing them. Can the Nuggets at least keep it close? We'll see. But I'd expect a very good effort here. And the other thing with LeBron, you know, LeBron's kind of been managing his time here throughout the series and throughout the playoffs. We'll see. Does he try to go a little bit more tonight in game three, a very important game three? We'll see.
Oh, I can't wait for next Saturday after the Lakers have won 4-2 and won this thing in six, and then I can go ahead and have my victory lap
God.
Here.
Listen to him. I love it. It's so good. TG, when Twitter Femi comes out, we have a better show. I love when we can get Twitter Femi out.
Oh, man. No, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a competitive series, but the Lakers, we're going back to Denver 2-2. What happens after that remains to be seen. Real quick, TG, we got about 15 seconds left. Any guy that you're rooting for the PGA Championship, what do you guys need there?
Scheffler, small loser to Scheffler right now, but of course, obviously, extremely wet out there today. It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, it's looking like a U.S. Open out there instead of a PGA Championship. He is Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata. TG, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, TG.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits, like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back to the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Ebbefe alongside Michael Lombardi. Michael, they're hoping that the Denver Nuggets can go ahead and get a win later on tonight. I know he wants to be able to see my bet go ahead and cash an L.
No, I'm rooting for your bet. That's unfair. That's unfair.
I see you over there smirking, buddy.
I'm hoping you win. I just don't agree with your analysis that the Lakers are the better team. That's all. I think, right. To me, I would bet the Lakers in this game because I do think they play better at home, but I don't buy the notion that the Lakers are the better team. Hachimura is going to have to play more minutes. He played 30 in the last game. They've got to figure out the D'Angelo Russell problem that he creates for them.
Don't play.
And I think what Tim Hardaway said earlier in the show, look, we know LeBron's an older player. The minutes kind of tend to wear on you a little bit as you go in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter was bad for Denver in game one, but they rallied and found a way to win that. LeBron turned it over in that game in the fourth. And then we had the fourth quarter where Jamal Murray was lights out, scores 24 points, and Denver, which didn't play good the entire game until the fourth, won.
Yeah, no, we'll have more about this analysis. I want to get to our pro tip, but I will have some analysis to back my bets on the Los Angeles Lakers to go ahead and win the Western Conference Finals. But let's get
to our pro tip.
No, you're going to have to wait. We got to give our pro tip first, though. And we can check out these tips at VSiN.com/tips. And this one comes courtesy of our friend Mike Somich, VSiN contributor. You can check him out over at RacingDudes.com. And it has to pertain with the Preakness later on this afternoon at Pimlico. And he said that if you're looking to back Mage, who is the favorite 4-5 right now on the morning line, you probably want to get some value out of it. So maybe look to the exotic bets and the exactas or the trifectas. And if you want to do an exacta, maybe do it with National Treasure, the Bob Baffert horse, as Baffert makes his return to the Triple Crown races here. So if you want to go ahead and do that and back Mage, pair him with some other horses, get some plus money out of it. So that is the pro tip for the day. Michael, you going to be dabbling with the Preakness a little bit later on this afternoon? Or you
I don't bet, but I would take National Treasure and would be one of the horses that I would look for too. And I like just reading Red Root One. I like that horse. I think Steve Amazon, it's kind of been trained for this. You know, he finished second last year when he trained in the Preakness last year. I think a little bit of what TG said, he knows how to run this track. And look, I think Mays is incredible. I worry about, the injury. These horses are very delicate. And, I don't understand how he could hurt his, bump his head into something. But, they do. And I just think to me, I think if National Treasure wearing those binders, kind of focusing him in on being able to start, I think that's a good play at 3-1.
No. I think National Treasure is the one that scares me to death. As somebody who I have Mage and National Treasure and Exacta, tailed Mike Somich, our buddy there. But Bob Baffert, the way he's been talking, he talked to The Athletic earlier this week, and he said that usually at the Preakness, I'm the hunted. Now I'm the hunter. This dude has won the Preakness 7 times. Like, that's just scary. Hearing him talk that way, that scares me because he didn't have to get ready for Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby since he was suspended. He's put all his focus here into the Preakness, which is his favorite race. So, man, I think National Treasure is very, very live to go ahead and hold off Mage, especially if it, like Somich said, gets 3-4 lengths ahead and Mage can't track him down. We got 6 minutes left here. Lakers Nuggets tonight. You said that you would bet the Lakers if you were a betting man. Right now, they are 5.5 point favorites, 6 at some spots. So I don't think I would lay that 6, and I didn't. I went ahead, like I said, played Lakers the exact series price at 4-2 to win this game in 6. And that pays out 10-1. I also played Lakers plus 375. And when I say the Lakers are the better team, it's not that I think that they're head and shoulders above the Denver Nuggets. That would be foolish. Denver was the best team of the Western Conference this season, number one seed. But I think this new iteration of the Lakers, had they started the season with this team after making the trades, the Lakers would have been talked about as a contender throughout. I mean, they have played much, much better since the trade deadline. And we've seen that in the postseason, dispatching the Memphis Grizzlies in six games and also dispatching the defending champion Golden State Warriors in six games as well. I think their defense is the calling card for this Lakers team. I think they get back to that at home. And I also believe that, like, I hear what you're saying with Denver played a bad three quarters in game two. They played a good three quarters in game number one. They won both those games. But I don't think we're going to get bad Anthony Davis and bad LeBron in the same game again like we did in game number two. And LeBron James, who has rabbit ears, he hears everything. He's been hearing people calling him washed for a couple of days now. Everyone's saying, oh, LeBron's old, he's gassed out, jello legs is what Tim Hardaway said. Like, LeBron, the greatness of him, he can turn it back as well from time to time. And he did it against Golden State, and I think he's going to do it now that his team's in a must-win spot here.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think he'll play well. You know, I think they're going to need him to play really well because they've got some issues. You know, I know they're really good defensively, but, you know, Denver, you know, they held Denver to 108 in the second game. I mean, the first game, the defense wasn't there. Denver shot really well. I mean, Denver shot 38% from the three-point line. I mean, Murray was sensational, but you got to be concerned about the Lakers and their three-point out. They were 28% in the last game.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think, to me, yeah, LeBron could turn it on. Can he do it five games in a row? Can he do that? And I think that's got to be the concern. And Anthony Davis has got to play at a very, very high level. And, you know, when you look at it, I mean, with D'Angelo Russell's plus minus, he was minus 18 on the game. Yeah. They played D'Angelo Russell 33 minutes. I don't think you could play D'Angelo Russell 33 minutes. I think they've got to figure that out. They got to kind of work around that. And, you know, he was minus 16 on the game. Anthony Davis was minus 10 in the game. He's going to have to find a way to up his game as well.
Yeah, I think Russell, he might not be playable at all in the series.
Why don't you go in the locker room and tell D'Angelo Russell that you've been our starter all year, that you've been a really key component to our turnaround, but you're not going to play now. I mean, I love when people say that. Like,
I mean,
that, when you say that, it's like you've never been in the room because you've got to tell the player that. Like, who's telling the player that?
Eric Spoelstra told that to Kyle Lowry, didn't he? Like, he said, hey, man, you ain't playing well, sit down.
Well, you do, but Kyle Lowry wasn't the starter. I mean, he was coming off the bench. Like, you know, at some point, you got to have that. I don't disagree that you got to limit Russell's minutes, but you got to do it tactfully and Chuck Daly-ish in terms of let him think that it's just the way it's going to go. Because if you come full force, you're losing the kid. Your locker room falls apart. I mean, look, I'm not in favor of playing D'Angelo. To me, if I'm Denver, I want D'Angelo Russell to make a three earlier in the game because he'll keep shooting.
Yep.
He'll keep shooting. He made one. I looked at Bill Berman. I said, that's the best thing that could happen to the Nuggets. He'll keep shooting. He missed the next four. Like, that's exactly what you want.
No, 100%. I think, in a way, Michael Malone kind of Jedi mind tricked Darvin Ham into playing him 33 minutes in game two, because the conversation out of game one was like, oh, yeah, like, you know, like, Russell, like, you know, he didn't really play that well. Like, we like it and all that. And then Darvin Ham was, okay, well, we're going to play our guy because Denver has come out and challenged him and said that he's not good enough. So they went ahead and played him 33 minutes. And like you said, minus 16. I think he was like minus 14 or so in game number one. Like, he's been bad. He's been a net negative for the Lakers on the floor. And when he's off the floor, which is the point that I would be pointing to if I'm Darvin Ham and if I'm LeBron James and Anthony Davis, it's like, we're plus 30 when he's off the floor in this series. If we just limit those minutes, and like, you can't play him 0 minutes, but if you can just play him like 18 minutes or 20 at most, the Lakers can
get back into this thing. Yeah, but who's going to pick up those minutes? So you got Hachimura's going to be the guy that picks him up. You know, I mean, who's going to pick him up? Schroeder wasn't playing well. He played 30 minutes the other night, too. Lonnie Walker won a game for him against the Warriors, but he hasn't been the same player. So, you know, I mean, where are they picking up the minute? You got to figure out how you're going to get the minutes, and you got to get quality play when you do that. That's a hard thing. I think it'll be interesting to see how they do that. I would put Hachimura in the starting lineup. I would.
Yep. Yeah, I would do that as well. Like, Hachimura has been consistent in this postseason, dating back to that Grizzlies series. He's been playing really, really well, and he clearly likes the matchup here against Denver as well. And then he's a body that you can also throw on Jokic. Like, you're not going to stop Jokic. I mean, Jokic is the best in the league, but at least make him work a little bit, you know. And Hachimura is physical enough to make him do that.
And it allows Anthony Davis to be kind of like the free safety. He can play off and protect the rim.
100%. So we'll see what happens with that game. Coming up later on this evening, the Lakers, once again, 5.5-point favorites, the consensus number. You'll be back with Stormy tomorrow, Michael, so I'll catch you Monday for
we'll
the GM
show. We'll be reviewing it all.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be reviewing it all. Hopefully the Lakers get a win and we get a 2-1 series. And, of course, we'll be previewing tomorrow the Celtics and the Heat. Must win for Boston as well down on South Beach. Michael, thank you once again. Good talking to you. We will see you guys coming up later on tomorrow. Good luck with all the bets. Coming up next is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.